Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
That's what this teaching is all about tonight, to change your mind. Not to give you another little piece of paper. This is to apply into your life. But I can tell you, at some point, God is going to require of you to take a step out of your past into your future by faith.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for joining us again on Revive Radio. We pray this sermon series has been a blessing to you. This series is entitled Mind Management. Let's go back into this series today with Pastor Rogers. This is Mind Management, Part 6. Let's get back into this series with Pastor Rogers.
So if you faithfully obey the commandments I'm giving you today, and again, he's telling them this prior to them crossing the Jordan, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, verse 14, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather your grain, new wine and oil. I'll provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce. Are you getting this? And you will soon perish from the good land the Lord has given you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols to your hands and bind them to your foreheads. That literally, they take that literally here with the strapping of their arms and the little box that you see on their foreheads that has the Torah inside of it written. I have pieces of that Torah written as the mezuzah at the front door of my home. That's literally, when it's done, I have one piece, it's quite expensive, written in the hands of the rabbi. Not copy, but written by the hands of the rabbi, because he's literally taking this, and they're literally taking this in that frame to bind them about their head and read it and study it and let it be strapped. And they strap it here close to their hearts, because that's what God's command says. He says in verse 19, and he's speaking this to us tonight as well, teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, talk about it all the time. Talk about the word of God all the time. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's that little mezuzah. So that your days and the days of your children, this is the promise, may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. That's a long time. Look in verse chapter 13 of Exodus, back up there a little bit. Exodus 13, this is what the Bible says. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, through that, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, if you come right out of Egypt and you face war, they might change their minds and return back to Egypt, return to Egypt. So God led them, led the people, around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went out of Egypt armed for battle. So now you understand, why is all this, why was God leading them in the wilderness? Now, it was only about an 11-day trip through the wilderness direct to be able to get there. But you'll find out a little bit in a moment that because, obvious of their disobedience, they didn't go straight there. So I want you to look at Joshua now, Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to back up to verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. This is God speaking to Joshua. He starts off the book of Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now get up and go do what I'm telling you to do. There shall not be any man be able to stand therefore before thee. All the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Let me stop here and say this. The Bible says, as he was with Moses, as God was with Moses, he said, I'll be with you, Joshua. Even though God is, I should say, even though Moses, if you compare the two, Moses and Joshua, God didn't do the same thing with Moses as he did with Joshua, but God never forsook and God never left either one of them. God is not going to do it the same way in the next generation as he did it in the previous generation. He's the same God and he'll hand out the same blessings, but he's not going to do it the same way in the wilderness as he will do in the promised land. Are you with me? So that's the reason why that God says to Joshua, even though in the previous chapter, in the previous book of Deuteronomy, Moses says to his successor, Joshua, be strong, Joshua, be of good courage. God's going to be with you. He'll never leave you, forsake you. Wherever you go, God's going to bless you. God comes back now, not with secondhand information coming through the mouth of Moses, but God knew that Joshua was going to need a right now, firsthand word. And he says to him, Joshua, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, if God says anything twice, you should pay attention. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Joshua had no idea what he was going to face, except for what he saw when he first visited the promised land. There's giants over there, but there's big grapes too. So he had, as a spy, he had already seen, but the battles that were ahead were going to be quite unique for him. Moses didn't face the same kind of battles that Joshua was going to face. Be strong, be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, think about it, talk about it, therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That is the absolute secret to every person living a prosperous and a successful life, found right there. Now, get this in your spirit tonight as we walk through this process. The word believe, it's on your paper. I want you to see this tonight and make it clear, because there is a difference between believing and trusting. And this definition I'm showing you here is not even necessarily the biblical definition. This is Webster. So let's get inspired from Webster's dictionary. He says, to believe is to consider to be true or honest, believe the reports. Another definition says, to accept the word or evidence of. This is believing. To hold as an opinion of. Or to accept something as true, genuine, or real ideas we believe in. All right? So that's believing. This is critical to your understanding here. Let's look at trust. Trust, in fact, believing has a fourth definition that I didn't put on you here, but to have a firm, wholehearted religious conviction or persuasion. That's believing. Trusting is another whole level. Trusting, by definition, is assured reliance on the character. If you don't get anything else, get this. Assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Another definition is one in which confidence is placed. Or dependence on something future or contingent. Or the word hope, Webster inserts here, for trust. There is a definite difference between believing and trusting. How important that it is that I have an understanding of it. I want to bring this to your understanding. It's going to help you, I believe, here tonight. By most definitions and by most people saying, I believe in something, they say, I believe it exists. In other words, many people would say, well, I believe in God. Well, you don't have anything more than demon belief. Because the Bible says demons believe in God and tremble. So believing, then, most people define it as, I believe that God exists. And quite frankly, if you ask anybody on the street all the way around the world, most people would say, sure, I believe in God. What they're saying is, I believe that he exists. There's a difference between I believe he exists and I trust him. To believe God exists, which I'm afraid that many people, that's what they've been saved into. Simply believe God and you're in. But the real challenge comes when you have to believe God and trust him. Are you with me? To believe God exists, listen, to believe that God exists or there is a God in heaven does not require you to have trust or even faith. And that, my friend, I believe is an overwhelming majority of the population of this planet. It is the same as saying, I believe that another person exists. I believe that you exist as a person in this world, but I don't have confidence or trust in you. I want you to note something. As I was preparing for this, I want you to note this. And I'm going to tell you, if the historical revisionist and the historical, our forefathers and so forth, the revisionists would love to just rewrite the whole thing and expunge God from everything. But I'm just going to tell you, there is no doubt in my mind that our forefathers and leaders of America establishing this government were divinely inspired to write it the way they wrote it. Consider the United States motto. The motto of the United States does not say, in God we believe. It says, in God we trust. If all we do is believe in God, then Muhammad and Krishna and Buddha and everything else and Jesus are all on the same level. But when you elevate that to trusting in God, you've taken that thing to a whole new level, and it is exclusive because by our definition right here, trust is the assurance and the reliance on the character, ability, let me put it in context, strength or truth, not just of someone or something, but I have trust in God because I have experienced his character, his ability, his strength, and his truth. That's far and above what believe is. That's not always the case when we have this mindset that somehow, and many people assume that trusting God means he's going to get me out of everything or get me out of whatever trouble that I'm in, but that's not always the case. Trusting God doesn't mean that everything works out like I want it. Are y'all with me? The world right now is full of pain and suffering and death and wars, and all of that is a result of sin coming into the world. Okay? So just because you're a believer doesn't mean, just because you're trusting in God doesn't mean that you're not going to go through something or have to bury someone or go through pains or sufferings and so forth. In fact, if you allow that to work inside of you like God wants it to work, it actually solidifies the fact that trusting God will mean that somehow, some way, this is a trust in God, not just belief that he exists, but I trust him because I know his character, his ability and strength and his truth, that he will ultimately work all things together for my good, either in this life or in the life to come, because I have learned and I have experienced the character, ability, knowledge, and trust of God.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.